Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it. All that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, once our guest presents, it is our custom that we turn it over to them so that they can tell us what they have created today. Because as you know, it is my belief that we are creators and we do that by the way we think. Once we develop our thoughts, it then manifests in what we have today. And we have a young man here today to give us wisdom. And from him, it is our hope that we would extract all the tools that he used to get to where he is today so that you and I can become better human spirits while we are here on this planet. Emmanuel, thank you for coming to Threads of Enlightenment. Tell us a little about yourself and what you have done and created.
Thank you for having me, sir. And so I am the character coach, and my God-given purpose is to help you look more attractive, but not the person on the outside, the person on the inside, the real you, your character. And in regards to attraction, what a person needs to have in mind is, am I drawing people to me because of joy and peacefulness about me? Or am I drawing people towards me because of courage and hope that other people see in me? Or faith that other people see in me? Or am I drawing people towards me because they like my persistence? I get hit by life and I'm able to keep going. So there are a long list of things that makes a person, their inner self, more attractive, their character more attractive. And so that is my focus, is to first help people understand these things and then show them myself putting them into practice. And then I'll eventually start to offer actual training exercises to have people do things to improve their character.
Awesome.
And one of them is singing in public.
Okay. That's a challenge right there. Singing in public. That is, I can see where that would cause someone to grow much, because you have to deal with some of the internal things that you have developed as an individual. Fear, which is one of them that you have to overcome in order to step out of your comfort zone in order to do something like that, where it doesn't matter your perception of what people think you are, because that's what basically it is. It is a perception. You have an internal perception that you think someone is going to reject you somewhere, somehow, because of how you sing. But that is a great, I love it, that something like that, where it's singing, because that's a powerful venue and medium by which one can express themselves, but also opening themselves to lots of opinions of other people. And it's actually really good principle, because you're about to teach them as they do these things that opinions, someone's opinion of you, which I always tell people, someone's opinion of you is not valuable unless you give it some value. And so if you give it value, then it will hurt you. But if you do not give it any value, it will never pierce your being. Why singing, so, Emmanuel? Why
so singing? I'll hit on that, but I would like to add this, is that in my walk to discover my purpose, one thing that I did discover is that I do find some golden nuggets in the opinions of others.
Oh, yeah.
Even if a person is in direct opposition to me. Mm-hmm. And so I do gather information from the opinions of others, but the important thing is to not let it overwhelm my mind. Mm-hmm. So it's like, because you know how sometimes thoughts start to catch momentum and it grows and grows and grows. And so that's important to find that balance between, okay, I'm going to hear what you're saying and I'll likely get something out of it, but I'm also not going to let this opinion, whether it came out extremely harshly, affect me by overwhelming my mind and taking my mind away from the tasks that I need to focus on in any given moment.
Excellent. What I want to talk to you now is, I want to go back, Emmanuel. I want to go back because I want to know from where you, from, as they say, from whence you came, so that we can so that we can talk about how you got to singing and chose that particular way to express
activity.
Yes, to express yourself. So I want to come back a little. Let's talk about your background as to where you were born, family life, stuff like that.
So I was born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and my parents are originally from Nigeria.
Okay.
And so they immigrated to the States, and I was born in good old Baton Rouge. Mm. Good food. And so, well, I'll try and tie that in, but let me come closer to the present. Mm-hmm. So I'm laughing because it's very funny how this even kicked off. Mm-hmm. So God told me to move to Zagreb, Croatia. Mm-hmm. And so I moved to Zagreb, Croatia, and a large number of things happened, and I might be able to tap on some of those as we continue to talk. But God also sent me to Germany in the month of August. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Germany, and he had me stepping outside of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I was approaching random strangers on the street. I was talking to many people, trying to improve my conversational skills. Mm-hmm. And also one thing that that was part of the stepping outside of the comfort zone was singing in public. Mm-hmm. So God had me go to the main square while I was in Munich, or one of the main squares. And he told me to sing and basically to sing as high as I possibly could. Mm-hmm. And at this point, me and God have developed enough of a relationship where for me, it's like, all right, fair enough. And so I'm laughing about it. And so I get into the square and I let my voice rise from deep within me. So this way the volume could project far enough. And I started singing the German version of the Happy Birthday song. Mm-hmm. And so after doing this and doing it a couple of times, I was given wisdom as far as things that would affect my performance. Mm-hmm. And so some of that being just straight up fear, and another being the worry about other people's opinions. Like, oh, these people are going to think I'm crazy, yada, 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 yada. And so eventually I got over that because in part because of this verse where Jesus says, I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him who can kill the body and afterwards cast the soul into hell. Don't fear man. Don't fear people who can only kill the body. Mm-hmm. And so, and for me, that's also a matter of, well, I'm not going to worry about the potential opinions of other people, because it's like, I mean, those opinions aren't going to kill me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, if God is calling me to do this, mm-hmm. it must be for a good reason. And after that, I discovered, I'm like, oh, this is actually a really good reason.
Yeah.
And a really good thing for people to put into practice, mm-hmm. because at the base of every decision a human being makes, there is a why. Mm-hmm. And if it's not a good why, then it's like trying to build a house on a bad foundation, mm-hmm. on an unstable foundation.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the reason why people do things is because they're thinking about the opinions of other people. Mm-hmm. And, but in a sense like this, for example, a young lady might be under pressure to get married from her immediate circle because she's worried that people are going to make fun of her. Mm-hmm. And so with that in her mind and driving her actions, she's likely to enter hastily into a marriage, mm-hmm. because she wants to avoid having to encounter those hurtful or potentially hurtful opinions from other people. Mm-hmm. And so as I was able to see more into this training exercise, then I said, this is a very good thing, because having a why that is not a very good why in regards to doing something can affect some very serious decisions.
Oh, yeah.
Like marriage, like, yeah. where you move to, mm-hmm. what kind of car you buy, what kind of house you buy. And so it's an important thing to comprehensively get over that worry about the opinions of other people.
Yeah, I think one of the lessons that personal growth will teach you is the value of your decision. I don't think many people live in that with that thought present in their mind, the value of my decision. And because of not understanding that, they make decisions or they allow themselves to be forced into situations because they don't know the value of the decision. When my children were growing up, I told them, some of your decisions will impact you immediately. And those things come and you don't know which one it is depending on the circumstances. Some will affect you immediately, some 10 minutes, 20 minutes, hours, days, some of them a lifetime. And so what presents to you, it'll present in a situation, a circumstance. And you and I have to learn to be mature enough to recognize the difference. And the you talk about the decision. I go a little deeper. I say the intent of it. Where the Bible tells us that God, the word of God is so powerful that it divides the intent of the decision-making process. And because it goes that deep, that means that you and I are absolutely 100%, every man, every woman is truly naked before God, because there's nothing that you can think that he doesn't know the intent that caused you to think that way. And so I try to teach my kids when they were younger, as I was learning these lessons, the value of your decision, to go in and find out your intent. And as you learn about your intent, your clarity that when you make your decision becomes much more powerful. And so you don't allow, like you said, we allow people's opinion and other outside forces cause us to make decisions, and sometimes that will affect us. You give the example of that young woman. That is going to affect her for the rest of her life, because it comes to with kids. It comes with packages of all kinds of other stuff that will change her destiny, that one decision. And so it's very valuable to understand the power, or to begin to understand the power, Emmanuel, of that decision that you're making. And I love the fact that your story is that God had you face those fears, because most of us live in a fear-based life. Most of the world lives ungoverned by fear. They move by it. Politicians control them that way. All kinds of stuff. They are afraid to lose their job. They're afraid to this. They're afraid of that. They're governed by fear. And so it's really powerful to hear that you were put in a situation to learn to recognize, number one, fear. Number two, to overcome it, or to learn the principles of how to be an overcomer of that fear. I love that, that you were put in that situation to deal with it. So now that you're here, God took you out and dropped you in the middle of one of the squares and had you sing your heart out. as you're learning these, as you said, he began to make you aware of the outside entities, these forces by which causes you to make decisions. How did you begin to once you began to recognize it, Emmanuel, how did you begin to incorporate it in your living, in your day-to-day process of getting up? How did you start doing that?
So it comes down to a matter of repetition. Mm-hmm. And it's, when I speak about character development, I also let people know that as you are perfecting your character, to gain the most out of character development, you need to have this one mindset, mm-hmm. that I am going to have joy in the difficult times in life. Mm-hmm. And as I see and as I've witnessed, that is the most effective mindset to have in order to get the most out of personal and character development.
Yeah.
And so with that said, after realizing how limiting those thoughts of fear are, I mean, even to the point where it affected my ability to project my voice, mm-hmm. Because it's almost like, maybe the best way I can describe it is like I could almost feel like fear suppressing my voice and trying to hold it down. And my voice was just escaping just enough from the cracks. And so this is where I came to realize, okay, and understand God's wisdom. It's like, yeah, that stuff, those things that steal a person's joy, those things are things that Jesus Christ came to give us victory over. Mm-hmm. And so in the process of going through character exercises with God, I also came to the wisdom that you have to do repetition. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like training your shoulder muscle. Mm-hmm. You got the front part, the side part, the back. And then you have the endurance fibers and then the short burst strength fibers. Mm-hmm. And so with that said, about every other Sunday, I'm singing in the square here in Zagreb. Mm. Sometimes it's Baby Shark, doo-doo-doo. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it's if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Yeah.
But my go-to is a Ron Canole song, Ancient of Days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so continual repetition, because I noticed that if you step outside of the character training arena for a little bit of time, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, to go back and then sing again in public, it's like, oh man, I got to get over that that fear of worry again. But it comes quicker.
Yeah.
And so with that said, that's what helps me on a day-to-day basis moving forward. But not just that, there are multiple other things that I continuously do and incorporate into my daily activity. Mm. For example, even my shower time is character development time. Mm-hmm. Because, so I don't know exactly what the issue is, but for some reason it appears that there's some sort of leak. And so water will come from underneath the shower and get onto the floor. Mm-hmm. And then I discovered that if I leave the shower on cold and I'm turning on and off the water very quickly, then I don't have to wipe water off the floor. Mm-hmm. So what I could have done was go to the landlord and say, hey, something's up with the shower and I have to clean the water off the floor. But as God guided me, he's like, well, this is a chance for you to practice not complaining, mm-hmm. training.
Yeah.
But then also to practice, what's the best way to say? I would say grace training.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, hey, you know what? Something's happening that's not ideal for me because of an outside entity to me.
Yeah.
And I could be upset and go griping about it, but it's a good idea to say, hey, you know what? Let me practice this and see if I can bear to continue to take cold showers and not get upset about it.
Well, the scripture tells us to be content, learn to be content in all situations. Uh-huh. So that is a perfect opportunity for you to learn that principle of contentment. And actually, the scripture says we come out of contentment when we crave something that causes us to put ourselves in this anxiety mode because we want it. But it says if we learn to control that craving, to be in contentment, that in all things give thanks and so forth. What you're learning in those, what I call it, conditioned response. Conditioned response is based on, I'll give you a perfect example. You're driving your car, you're having a good time, you're singing. Like you know, and you look into the mirror and you see the police car behind you. All of a sudden, your singing change. You're hitting pitches that you didn't know you can, and you hit that gas. And you did nothing wrong. You're just having what I call a conditioned response. And based on the training, whether known to you or not, you have been programmed. And so as a matter of being programmed, you then respond to the condition by hitting your brakes. One of the first entities that we saw that man dealt with after he had an incident in the garden when he was disobedient was the spirit of fear was present because God kept his appointment. In the evening, it says, as it was their custom, God came. God knew that he fell, but God still kept the appointment. And I think that is one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. And so God is sitting there waiting for his appointment with his creation. And he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I'm afraid. And so that was one of the entities that that entered into his life as a result of his decisions. And when we saw that Peter and all the other guys, when Jesus came, he dealt with people. Where is your faith? He talked to them. Why are you afraid? So we know that this entity is there to, I believe it kills man's dreams daily. You and I die once, but fear will kill us daily if we allow it. But mm-hmm. as you are learning how to overcome it, as you said, we have to learn how to condition ourselves so that when it does appear, we have been conditioned to respond differently than how we used to respond when we would retreat and become fearful and all that stuff. So you're absolutely right. We have to learn how to condition ourselves so that when this entity comes, you know when it shows up. When fear hits you, you know it because it all mm-hmm. of a sudden is this emotional thing, this thing that you can't explain came out of nowhere. and you feel it. And so, but if you are trained and you've gone through training, conditioning yourself, when it shows up, you'd recognize it and you'll be able to overcome it. And one of the ways that how you do that is that you learn how to be content. The other is, as you mentioned, that the Bible makes a statement. It says, even though the fig tree doesn't prosper, yet will I praise him. What is that? It's saying, even though it looks dark around me, even though it doesn't manifest, even though those things that I'm asking for is not present at the time, my responsibility is to what I consider, if once you are creating and you focus on the natural realm, I believe you lose. And I'll give you an example to that. But if you stay within praising God, you are not looking at your ability, because your ability has gone a long time ago. Because if you could have fixed it, you would have fixed it. So you're in this situation and you're praising, but it's not manifesting and you're panicking. Why? Because you would have gotten it done. And I tell people, when you're there, don't panic. Your responsibility is to praise him. Focus on the word. And I'll give you my example is this. Peter sees Jesus walking on water. He comes. He says, Jesus, if that's you, can I come? Jesus said, come. And so here's this man steps out of water and he's walking. Everything is cool. He's looking at Jesus. Not a problem. But there's a change in the situation, the Bible tells. It says that all of a sudden, this wind come from nowhere. The place is getting wild. The water is turning all over the place. And he panics. And he becomes fearful. And fear hit him. And he begins to sink. And so my purpose when I share this is, what did he do? He looked at the natural realm. He took his eyes off of what he, the original, and what I call the our statement, our statement of faith, our confession. Jesus said, "Come." That was the statement of faith that he stepped out on. When the noise and all the change of situation happened, our goal is never to move from that statement of faith. Don't move. And how do you not move? Mm. It's the only place that I've ever read is through worship, because you're now looking at your ability. Because if you take your eyes off and you look at the natural realm, you're relying then on your ability to fix this, and you're going to sink. So that's what we try to tell people, as you were saying. One of the principles is not to look at your current situation. Put on blinders. What is your statement of faith in that situation? That's what you hold on to. And don't let anything move you from that. And so here you are, God is telling you to sing your statement of faith. So you start singing and he, you got people coming to you. How, talk to me, Emmanuel, tell me how the people start to react to you as a result of you doing these things. How did people approach you? Initially, I'm sure some of them came and tell you maybe you should go in the shower and sing or something like that. you know, but how did it start to affect people, and how did it change and so forth? And how did it change you as a result of those people coming in your space?
So let me hit on something quickly before I go into that. And I like what you were just talking about in regards to God conditioning us for endurance. Mm-hmm. And so endurance of our spiritual eyes to be focused in the spirit and to overcome our natural eyes. So that's a very, very important thing that as people enter into the Christian walk and continue in their Christian walk is to remember what you said, to let those spiritual eyes endure and to hang fast onto that statement of faith and continue in praise and thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. But so in regards to people's reactions, So in Germany, I got a couple of claps from the birthday song. And since I've been here in Zagreb, sometimes little kids who are walking by because I may be singing the song, The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round and Round. And they're like, they're like looking like, oh, this is fun. Or parents, especially, they're like, oh, okay, because they have the kid spirit in them. And so they're jolly. And then also other times when I'm singing, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Mm-hmm. People are generally receptive to this if I call them to join in.
Yeah.
And there was one time where two police officers came up. I guess someone might have said, yeah, there's some guy there singing at the top of his lungs. We don't know what's going on. Uh-huh. I don't know exactly why they came. But nonetheless, I was able to have a good conversation with one of them and let him know that also part of what I'm doing is a matter of spreading joy. Mm-hmm. And so, because one thing that I discovered is that what a man sows, that he will also reap. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to spread joy, not just to regenerate myself, but in the hopes and belief that if I'm planting joy seeds in other people, that this will help push back against the darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
And so something you said in regards to intent earlier, this is one of the reasons why it's good for people to get down to the deepest level of why they're doing something and make sure that it is being done for a godly reason. Mm-hmm. Like you're trying to do, whatever it is that you're doing, make sure that it is based on some sort of scripture, because otherwise that'll affect your overall trajectory. And so it's a good thing to find out your why. And sometimes that takes a little bit of work. And I discovered a lot in my journey coming to Croatia and coming to the point of about January this year, where I was able to get down to my intents and I was able to discover my purpose, which I quoted at the very beginning. And to requote, my God-given purpose is to help you defend your joy.
Your statement of faith. That's what I've been trying. That's what I'm trying to tell people. That statement of faith is going to guide you. And I'll give you a couple of an example of that. We see that God had a statement of faith because we follow him. He says, he looks down and the earth was a mess. And he said, let there be light. And he began to speak his statement of faith and it began to manifest. Now, Abraham, he called Abraham and he said, you are going to be a father of many nations. His name was Abram. And so God changed his name to Abraham. Abraham means a father of many nations. So God changed his name so that when anyone will call him, and even when Abraham called himself, he was pronouncing the statement of faith and it guided his life. The woman with the issue of blood, her statement of faith, if I would touch his garment, she pushed right through the crowd. She went against the crowd. She made her statement of faith. And that is why I'm saying to you, that piece of item there, that statement of faith is what will guide your life. When the times are hard, your focus is not on anything else, but that statement of faith. And so I always say to people, what is your statement of faith? And whatever it is, I want to be a doctor. You will put in the time to study to do that, regardless of what anyone says to you. Why? Because it is a personal statement of faith. It is the thing, Emmanuel, that will guide your life, regardless of anyone's opinion of you. And so I challenge people today, What is your statement of faith? Because you came on, Emmanuel, and you pronounced and announced your statement of faith. And that is what guides your life. You think about projects based upon that statement of faith. You're trying to put together products to help people based from that product, that statement of faith. Mm-hmm. So I try to tell people, find that thing. Until you find it, you ain't living, man, because you don't know what you want.
And it leads a lot of people to frustration as well, because it's like I'm missing something in my life. Yeah.
They don't have that. They don't have that piece of item right there, because that piece of item is important to the human spirit. We need something to guide us, or we are a boat without a rudder. It is important that we have that. And it can guide you your life goal. It can guide you within the situation that you're presently in. The woman was sick. She spent all of her money trying to get healed. She heard about Jesus. She made her statement of faith. I just need to touch him. I don't need nothing else. And so it caused her to do stuff. And so here's this man walking around thousands of people. And he says, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "Have you lost your mind? Do you see who's around you?" And he said, "No. Somebody touched me." And so I tell people that statement of faith has to be big enough to draw power out of God. If it's not big enough to draw power out of God, you're not there yet, because all these people were touching him. Jairus with his daughters dying. He said to his statement of faith was, "Come to my house. My daughter is sick, close to death. You touch her and she shall recover." Couple of his boys comes from his house and says, "Hey, Jairus, don't bother Jesus anymore. She's dead." Now, Jesus is dealing with the issue, the woman with the issue of blood, about his stuff, her stuff. Then he turns around the minute he hears this from this man's servant. And he said to Jairus, "Don't listen to them. Only believe. Do not move from your statement of faith. Don't move, because if you move, you're not going to get it." So that statement of faith has to be big enough to grab God's attention, because once his attention is grabbed in there, because he knows the intent, Emmanuel, of your heart, he knows the intent of that statement of faith. And once that touch him or move him, there ain't nobody on this planet can stop it from manifesting. Not a soul, because you just move God. And he jumped up and he's going to say, "I have never seen anything like this."
I have to say, you've given me some good words of encouragement as well in regards to hanging on to that statement of faith, because sometimes I try and box God into my schedule in a sense that it's like, I set this goal, and as I'm approaching timeline for the goal, I'm like, I need that now to hit this goal. Yeah. But it's good to be re-encouraged and continuously hear words of faith from other brethren, because that's one of those things that people need in order to defend their joy.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah.
You got to find it. It is until I do a lot of interviews with people on a daily basis and for my show. And every one of them, I don't care what state they're in or where they came from, all of them made a statement of faith that got them from where they were to where they are today. And it was that statement of faith that they were able to grab onto to guide them through. And the statement of faith has to be big enough that when you get tired, Emmanuel, you will open your eyes and get up. You'll get up regardless, because it is so big and is so full of purpose that it will drive you. And that is why your statement, I said to people, make sure it's big, and because you're going to need a God to make it happen. So make it big, because when you get to it, when you get to it and you see that that bigness is achieved, you're going to look at yourself and go, wow, I need to make this bigger, because you and I are made of great material, and the material that we are made of. And I tell people about faith. What is it? It is the substance that created this universe. It is the substance that created the angels. God said, he called them in. He spoke it into existence. It is the substance that created it. And when you and I operate in that same substance, now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. It is a force by which you and I now, as creators, when we speak into the situation, what does that situation recognize? It recognizes, when you and I speak in faith, it recognizes the authority, the power that created it. It is the law that supersedes every single law on this planet, because it was the law that created everything in this planet. That's why Jesus was able to walk on water. That's why he's able to raise the dead. That's why he's able to do anything to supersede this law that is on here. The law of gravity is superseded by the law of flight. All of these things. Why? Because it was fate that created all. So when you and I operate in that power through this statement of faith, whoa, man. We change life, man. And so God is waiting for people to make the statement of faith. What is it? Bring it into existence. Some of it manifests through our sicknesses or our situation. The woman, she said she heard that he's a healer, so it manifested in her situation. She created her statement of faith. If I could just touch his garment. The other one, that you create the other place where we could get the statement of faith, is the word of God. He says, by his stripes you are healed. You can go and grab that and bring it into your situation. So he has statement of faith laid out in that Bible. If you're anxious about something, he says, there's a statement of faith in that Bible about anxiety. If there's a statement of faith, if you are going through anything, I promise you, there's a statement of faith in the Bible for you. You just got to go find it. And so once you find it, and then you bring it, Emmanuel, into your situation, it is.
Hang on for the ride, yeah. Because God is like, okay,
yeah,
let's go. Let's He's go. Holding on. Let's go.
You went and you found it. Let's Jesus go. Did the same thing, guys. He went and he found it in Isaiah 61. And he pulled it out and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He began to raid his statement of faith. And then he got up and started doing what he just finished reading. So we got to go find it, man. I don't care how you get it, but you need to get it. Whether you get it from God, from the Bible, or whether you get it from your situation, but get it, because it's important and it will guide your life. And, you know, I love how you came out. You came out guns blazing, as they say. You laid it out there. And so that is your statement that is guiding your life, that caused you to stand up and sing in front of people, that is causing you to create programs now to teach people from your statement of faith. You are now becoming a teacher to teach people to find their statement of faith. And so that's what we do, man. I finished preaching.
No, you did. You did well. You know, go ye into all the world and make disciples of all men.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward each and every day as we keep moving forward to help people get unstuck.
Yeah. They're greater than they are. That's
step
it.
In. Yeah.
They're made of
step into.
They're made of precious material, Emmanuel. The house is just the house.
Indeed,
man.
Indeed.
You know, and so your material that you and I are made of, the spirit of a man is the material that we are made of. The house just is the container of the material. So we are some precious stuff that the Bible wants us, God is trying to make us aware of it so that we can make decisions to govern our lives, knowing that we are some precious stuff, precious material.
Indeed, sir. Well put.
I want to thank you, man, for coming to Threads of Enlightenment. This has been a good one. I appreciate you coming and talking to us. And I want people to get to Emmanuel's site. He's putting those classes together. Learn about your character, because the character is by which people will recognize you and know who you are, not how you look. That changes, but your character is what makes this precious stuff beautiful. And here is a gentleman that is putting together a program to help you to get into your character so you can learn how to sing in public.
Indeed, indeed, indeed.
But I thank you
and
so much.
And to do many, many other things.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Oh, you're welcome, man. It's a pleasure. Everyone who's listening to this broadcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you, but always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.